LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
What were the circumstances and situations that would lead a person who's a human being to discover their divinity and then move all the way from waking consciousness to soul consciousness, to cosmic consciousness, to God consciousness, and ultimately to unity consciousness? You know, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I and God are one."
That's Deepak Chopra. I don't know what religion he actually believes in. Chopraism, something along those lines. It's kind of a conglomeration of Eastern religions with self-actualization. He's got a place in his religion, though. For Jesus, he believes Jesus is an enlightened master of sorts, someone who, although he's merely human, realized his divinity and went through the stages all the way to unity consciousness. He even wrote a book about it called The Third Jesus, where he talks about Jesus as an enlightened master. That's Deepak Chopra's place for Jesus in his particular religious system, and he's not alone. Islam has a place for Jesus. Judaism has a place for Jesus. Hinduism has a place for Jesus. Almost every world religion has a place for Jesus. Why? And is that Jesus of Deepak Chopra's or anyone else's, does it bear any resemblance to the real Jesus, Jesus of Christianity and of the New Testament? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery joins us here in the first half hour of this hour to conclude our nine-part series on Christian apologetics. We'll talk about the Jesus of non-Christian religions. A little bit later, Pastor Hans Feeney joins us. The subject will be pop culture's attempt to mock Christianity. If you're going to mock something, basically try and urge Christians to abandon their beliefs, you probably should have something to put in its place. Does pop culture offer anything like that? Now, you can join us for the next hour with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. The Issues Etc. comment line is 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the Jesus of non-Christian religions, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, distinguished research professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and he's author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christ as Center and Circumference. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Thank you.
I've noticed that every world religion, respectable world religion, has some place for Jesus to try to fit him in someplace, but you don't hear advocates of creedal Orthodox Christianity quoting Buddha credibly or trying to find a place to fit Allah into their religious system. What's going on here?
Well, Jesus has such an amazing character, such a remarkable personality that other religions simply can't avoid him. That isn't the case with the leaders of the other world's religions.
All right. Why is it that when they take Jesus, they kind of cherry-pick the Jesus? Sometimes it's even reinvent him entirely, like Deepak Chopra, but they tend to cherry-pick Jesus.
Well, they don't want Jesus to interfere with the system that they already maintain. So the only way to handle this is to, as you say, cherry-pick, to take out of Jesus' teachings those things which are in some sense compatible with their own viewpoint and simply ignore the rest.
What does it tell you as a Christian apologist, and you've had decades of experience in this area, that, as you said a few moments ago, Jesus remains kind of this question mark? He's a compelling question that must be answered in some way by any religious system or any religious view. What does that tell you?
Well, it says that if a person is sincere in another religion, The person will want to discover who Jesus really was. The person will not want to use Jesus as a means to an end, simply as an illustration of the stuff that is maintained by their own religious system. And if a person is willing to shelve his or her presuppositions, biases, prejudices, enough to read the firsthand accounts of Jesus' life and ministry as you find them now collected in the New Testament, the gospel records, the result will be that a choice will have to be made. One will either have to go along with the Jesus of the primary witnesses, the primary documents, or one will really have to get rid of Jesus entirely, because there isn't any other possibility. The Jesus of the New Testament is unique. He presents himself as unique. In that statement that you led with in the program, the gentleman there talked about how Jesus was enlightened and he could provide enlightenment, this kind of thing. That is not Jesus. Jesus presents himself as God Almighty. I and the Father are one. He who has seen me has seen the Father. He doesn't say that somebody else can reach that status. It isn't a matter of climbing up to heaven by one's own bootstraps, becoming more and more sanctified or more and more cosmically perfect. You don't get any of that stuff in Jesus' actual teaching.
So let's talk about a few of these alternate Jesuses, beginning probably with one that presses mostly on our attention nowadays, and that is the Jesus of Islam. They certainly, even in their scriptures, have glowing things to say about Jesus. What do they say about him? What don't they say?
Well, yes, they say that Jesus was the greatest of the prophets prior to Muhammad. And that the reason why there is material in the New Testament about Jesus that makes him appear to be God Almighty is that the apostles either misunderstood or consciously perverted the message that Jesus was actually presenting.
So they end up with a Jesus who is he merely man, or does he have any divinity?
Well, no, he has no divinity. He is the greatest of the prophets. That means that he is a human being, just as Muhammad was a human being. But the fact of the matter is that Allah has used various prophets through history, Jesus being the penultimate prophet, and Muhammad the ultimate prophet. They are only human beings, but what they're doing is pointing to the truth of Allah, and the Quran sets that forth. And if there's any conflict between the Quran and the Bible, of course, you've got to choose the Quran.
Oddly enough, they do retain some of the New Testament claims about Jesus in a very weird way, like virgin birth.
Well, sure. Muhammad traveled widely. He had contact with Jews and Christians. He probably was illiterate. There's no reason to think that he actually read any of the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, but he picked up desultory information, and he includes information that you find in the Bible. Sometimes it's rather skewed and arrives in a strange fashion, but he picks up stuff. The problem is that, as we were saying earlier, what he has done is only retain the stuff that he felt comfortable with.
Then what do they do with the central claim to Jesus, and that is that he is the Savior of the world, that he is crucified as a sacrifice and as a payment for the sins of the world, and that he rises again on the third day? What does Islam, how do they modify the Jesus story?
They deny this. They deny that God has a son. That's explicit in the Quran. They also deny that it's possible for there to be an atoning sacrifice for sin. It's explicitly stated that each person has to deal with sin himself, And on the last day, it's a matter of Allah weighing the sins that you've committed versus the good things you've done. And if the good things outweigh the bad, then you go to heaven, and otherwise you go to hell. It's a works righteousness system, and therefore it denies the central teaching that Jesus presents. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And the illustrations he gives of turning the other cheek and giving your clothing to the person who has already stolen clothing from you, all of this is to show that we can't reach perfection, and we've got to admit our sin and come to him in order to be saved. All of that, Muhammad either didn't know about, or he simply denied it. Therefore, the Jesus that you have in the Quran is a Jesus who simply presents certain prophetic utterances. All right, and these prophetic utterances are regarded as second only to what Muhammad himself presents in the Quran.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we will continue with him, concluding the ninth part of our series with him on Christian apologetics. We're talking about the Jesus of non-Christian religions. He is a distinguished research professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and he's director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. We'll be right back.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. classicalspecialneeds.com.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're concluding our series on Christian apologetics with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, talking about the Jesus of non-Christian religions. He is director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Dr. Montgomery, tell us a little bit about the Academy.
Well, it's the only Institute of Advanced Studies in Apologetics anywhere in the world. It's 2 weeks of intense instruction, focusing on the major objections that non-Christians raise to Christianity today. Each summer, four of the foremost specialists in this area each delivering courses, so that it's possible in the two-week period to understand exactly the kinds of objections that non-Christians are going to raise when you present the gospel. The special value of this is that it gives people courage to evangelize. In my view, the reason that so many people in the church just don't do evangelism is that they are frightened witless that the non-Christian may raise a question and they're not going to be able to answer it. This program gives you the opportunity to find the answers that are the most relevant and to present them in such a persuasive way that it can get the non-Christian to the cross of Christ as fast as possible. That's our object. We don't do apologetics to argue with people. We use apologetics as a tool to get people to the cross.
You can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Montgomery, let's cite another example, if we could, and that would be the Jesus of Buddhism. I've often heard a Jesus described by Buddhists who are very inclusive in their religious views. They tend to kind of have an illogical system where things don't have to fit together. It's one of the hallmarks of Buddhism, but they like to fit Jesus in there someplace. Who is the Jesus of the Buddhist?
Well, he's a moralistic Jesus. He's a Jesus who can be imitated, and if you do imitate him and you live the way he allegedly wants us to live, then that's going to assist you on your cosmic path. That means that when you are next reincarnated, your chances are good of improving things rather than going the opposite direction. And if you could become cosmically united to Jesus, then it would be possible for you, presumably, to stop this eternal round of reincarnations and enter into nirvana directly, into total identification with the cosmos. If you look at the New Testament, unhappily, you are not going to find any of this related to Jesus. You're not going to find any of it there at all, and certainly not related to Jesus. Because what the New Testament says is that the human race, because of its selfishness, has effectively prevented reaching heaven through any kind of spiritual experience. We are cut off. And the only solution to this has got to come from God Almighty. We're not capable of pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And the point of the incarnation, the point of God becoming man in Jesus Christ, was to take the burden of our sins on himself, expiate those sins, and make it possible for us to be changed so that we would enter heaven on the basis of Christ's righteousness and not on the basis of anything that we do. If you understand that, you recognize that what we just described as the Jesus of Buddhism is totally off the wall in relation to what Jesus said about himself.
Atheism, although it's not considered a world religion, it certainly is. It is a religious entity in its fervor, at the very least. We've talked about it before in this series. Also, most atheists want to at least find some place for Jesus. They find very few of them who will badmouth him. For the atheist, what kind of Jesus do they want?
Well, of course they're not going to badmouth him. Jesus is seen by everybody as a positive religious figure. The atheist doesn't... To criticize Jesus is sort of like punching Santa Claus. I mean, you don't want to do this. If you do this in the presence of other people, you're going to look bad. But for the atheist, the best that they can say about Jesus is that he presented high moral teachings. Now, even there, though, they are not recognizing the place that moral teachings had in Jesus' preaching and his ministry. Jesus did not present moral teachings with the idea that if people huffed and puffed enough, they could follow these teachings and could thereby save themselves. His approach always was to help people to see that they were incapable of doing this. There's that young man who comes to Jesus and he says, I've followed the great commandment in every respect. I've loved the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, my neighbors, myself, and on down the line. And Jesus says, this is wonderful. You know, we haven't come across many people like this. Now, take everything you have and sell it and give to the poor. Now, the point of that was not to argue in favor of poverty versus riches. It was to show this fellow that always there's going to be something fundamentally missing that could save the individual. And that's why Jesus insists that the only way of salvation is to recognize one's inability to save oneself and to come to him to accept what he has provided.
So, in essence, we kind of come back to where I think it was C.S. Lewis finally lands. He talks about, you know, trying to have Jesus on your own terms, and you're left with, I think he lays out three alternatives when one wants to kind of shoehorn Jesus into their beliefs. You ultimately fail if you take seriously the biblical account of Jesus, and you're left with these claims and three possibilities. Jesus is who he says he is. He's delusional, or he's positively demonic. Talk about those.
Well, yes, and those are really the only logical consequences, that either Jesus was an intentional deceiver, presenting himself as someone that he wasn't, and he knew this, or he was had serious psychological problems. He did not know himself. It was a lack of self-knowledge, and therefore he presented himself in a way that was inaccurate, even though he thought that was the case. Or, finally, he was exactly the person he claimed to be. Now, very few people have tried to argue seriously that Jesus was a deceiver. I mean, his high moral teachings push him beyond that pale. Lecky, who was not a believer in talking about Jesus, said he provides us with the highest possible moral example. Well, if that's the case, Jesus couldn't have been a person who didn't understand himself. If he was autistic, let's say, and had no real connection with reality as far as his own personality was concerned, then he would hardly have been able to be a high moral teacher. And as to his not understanding himself, the people who had contact with him when he was here on Earth, people who had contact with him said, never have we heard anybody speak like he speaks. Never have we had contact with anybody who had the impact that he does. And if you combine that with the miracles that he performed, and ultimately with the fact that he rose again from the dead, you can't very well say he misunderstood himself. To the contrary, what he did was to demonstrate through fulfilled prophecy and through these miracles, and especially the resurrection, that he was exactly the person he claimed to be when he said, no man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He who has seen me has seen God the Father. Those statements are vindicated in the facts of his life. So those other two possible explanations fall by the wayside.
What is the danger of someone saying, look, I am a Buddhist, and I have a place for Jesus. So Christians, stop worrying about me. I respect Jesus. I honor him. I think highly of him. Or maybe even someone who says he's a great prophet, or the Muslim says, as they've often said, we actually revere and honor Jesus more than Christians do. What's the danger there, bottom line danger, Dr. Montgomery?
Well, think of this in terms of yourself. Suppose someone says, I have tremendous respect for you, and then the person presents a picture of you which is directly contrary to reality. Okay, the person says, for example, I have tremendous respect for you. You cheat on your income tax. You beat your wife. You punch little dogs and small children, etc. But I have tremendous respect for you. I think you would say, you cannot have respect for me unless you take me seriously, unless you're willing to go with who I really am. Now, same thing goes in spades where Jesus is concerned. It's impossible to have genuine respect for Jesus unless you take him seriously. And that means listening to what he says, listening to what the people who had immediate contact with him said that he said. That gives you the portrait of Jesus, which the Christian church has maintained for 2,000 years, that he was indeed God incarnate. He was nothing less than this. And if you are unwilling to see him as he really was, you're far better off saying absolutely nothing about him than to provide some kind of a Jesus which is unhistorical and non-factual.
What about the converse then, finally, Dr. Montgomery, which would be someone who says, look, I'm a Christian, but I'm intrigued by the teaching of Buddhism. I'm a Zen Christian. I think there's a famous basketball coach who passes himself off as a Zen Christian. Or I'm a Christian, but I'm intrigued by the teachings of Islam, and I think I can incorporate the two together. What's your response there?
Well, of course, one can take elements from other systems as long as those elements don't contradict the teachings of Christianity, the teachings of Christ. So if one wants to sit in lotus position and meditate along the lines of Buddhist practice, but that doesn't color one's view of Jesus, doesn't seem to me that there's any problem with this. Frankly, it's awfully uncomfortable, and you probably are going to need physiotherapy afterwards if you sit in this lotus position too long. But in principle, theologically, there wouldn't be a problem. The difficulty is, of course, that the person who says this is usually not just intrigued. The person is moving in the direction of accepting the teachings of the other religion. And those teachings, if they have anything to do with salvation, will be in diametric opposition to what Christianity teaches. All the religions of the world, aside from Christianity, have some means by which you can save yourself. Christianity is the only religion which absolutely refuses to allow you to maintain that kind of view of yourself. It insists that the only way of salvation comes from the cross of Jesus Christ.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and he's author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christ as Center and Circumference. You can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website. Also, the books of Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, there's a link there as well, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Montgomery, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're very welcome, as always.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Hans Feeney. He's written recently for The Federalist a piece called Scarlett Johansson, Sexing Up the Bible Won't Defeat Christianity. We're going to talk about pop culture attempts to mock Christianity. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Delivering apologetics artillery right on target. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.